For us this morning, we're going to talk about some different things. We've got quite a few scriptures as always, but we're going to look through some that refer to some of the gifts that God has given to us as the body of Christ. And the gift, rather than gifts, if you notice the title, it does not have an S on there, because the gift was given, and from that gift there's all these other gifts that come out of it. So we're going to focus on the gift, which is what I love to do here, rather than focus on all the other stuff. Focus on the number one, that's Jesus. So keep him exalted up. So we're going to do that again this morning, but you'll see how, just by doing that, there's all these other things that come out of that, and we're going to receive of that. So praise God. This morning we're going to talk about the gift. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. We're exalting you. We're exalting your Son, Father, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Father, we're going to look into you and your presence, your Holy Spirit, your anointing, your righteousness, your grace, your salvation, all these things that you've given unto us, Lord. We're going to press in with the intent of gaining an understanding of who you are and how exalted you are, how favorable you are in our life, Lord, and that we can set you up on the throne of our life as our focus of our ministry, focus of our life, focus of our family, focus of our day-to-day living, Lord, that we exalt you in such a way, Lord. We praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about the gift. You know, a gift, according to a plain old Webster's dictionary, they give a whole bunch of different definitions. It's got several different meanings that it can have. One of them that I hadn't really heard of before, it was said, it can be the act, right, or power of giving or bestowing. Such as in the office, it says the office is in the gift of the president. Okay, it's within his power to give that. It's in the gift of the president. It's in the gift of the ambassador or whatever. So it's in their power or ability to bestow things. It can also be a unique characteristic or talent. Sometimes we think of that. Somebody is gifted. You know, Jeff is a gifted musician. Somebody might have a gift for speaking, or you know, they have a gift in a certain area. And so we tend to think of it in some ways like that, a preeminent or special talent or aptitude. It can be a gift of wit, you know, a gift of humor, things like that. In the Old Testament, that term gift is often used in a negative way. Okay, and there's a description in the Webster's kind of for this, but it describes it in a way that it is not a positive, not a good thing to receive a gift, but more of a bad thing. To be gifted by someone meant you were being bribed by someone to change your behavior or your attitude about it, and often not in a good direction. The definition Webster's gives on that, it says, a gift can be a bribe or anything given to corrupt. Okay, so you're given a gift or, you know, a payoff kind of thing, a bribe. Our first scripture actually shows some of that in Exodus 23:8. It says, and thou shalt take no gift or bribe, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. So see how it's kind of used in a negative way. They're getting a gift, but it's a bribe. It's a payoff. It's a corruption. It's something that is going to pervert their thinking and blind the eyes of the wise. So that's where that receiving something that is not good or of God, and we take that in, then it can distort our life as a Christian. We're told by James in his book, as he's writing, not to stray from the truth about the what kinds of gifts we should be giving and receiving. The good gifts, he says, are of the Father, right? They're from God, every good and perfect gift. I think we got that scripture, James 1:16. Says, do not err, don't stray, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God is God, man. He's got it down. You can't move him. You can't pay him off. Okay, but that's a little different than this, but he's saying every good gift is from above. It comes from the Father. It comes from the good, good Father. We just sang that song. Out of all the definitions of a gift, though, if you look through like a Webster's or a Bible dictionary, out of all the definitions of a gift, the kind of gift that I want to talk about most today is the kind that we most often think about when we think of that term gift. It is something that is given not to corrupt or to harm, but it is something given out of love as a blessing, right? My cousin's birthday. I want to give him a gift. I want to give him a blessing. I want to give gifts to people that come into my life or whatever. It is described in Webster's again. It says, anything given or anything voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. It is a present. It is an offering. It is a donation. It is something that we intend to give with no recompense, nothing that we're going to receive back from that. That's the kind of gift that we're talking about this morning. The words denote something that is gratuitously imparted to another out of one's own property. It's something that you have to give, and you're going to bless somebody with this gift. A gift is something given either by a superior or an inferior, designed for the relief or benefit of him who receives it. So the type of present or gift that we're talking about today is always intended as a compliment or expression of kindness. Okay, think of an expression of kindness. When we think about the greatest expression of love and of kindness that has ever happened, that has ever been bestowed upon the human race, in any point in history as we know it, it doesn't take long for our minds to settle on the gift that God gave to us. Right? John 3:16, the best example. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I think I have that scripture, Bob. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Right? That was the best gift that God could give. That's when I think of a gift given to me, that is the gift that was given. And it's the Son of God given for the redemption of the world. And God doesn't hold back in his giving, right? When he gives, he not only gives a good gift, but he gives the best gift possible. He gives the absolute best thing possible with the intention of providing the very best benefit to those that receive it. Okay, if God's going to give something, he wants to have the absolute, it's going to be the best gift, but he's going to give it with the intention that it will bless to the best benefit as possible. Is exactly what you need. God has voluntarily transferred to us exactly what we need. He doesn't give us elephant gifts. Anybody know what an elephant gift is? You go to a party and you got to buy an elephant gift. Okay, it's something goofy, wacky, whatever. I went to one and I thought we were supposed to be given elephant gifts. I guess we were supposed to give normal ones, but I took an elephant gift, right? So it's kind of the odd duck anyway. Well, it was on a board about this big, just a piece of plywood, and on the bottom it was, I don't know if you've ever seen, but they're little tiny wires about the thickness of a pencil lead, and there was a roll of them about this thick, and it was stuck onto this board, and it was kind of, you know, tacked onto the board, and then you would take it, and you would pull out, you know, 8 strands here and 15 strands here and kind of pull it apart, and twist them, and then you pull it apart again and twist them, and it made a tree out of wire. Okay? I thought it was kind of cool. Okay? But I took it and I got caught a lot of flack over this because I took this, I thought it was kind of a cool gift, but it was an elephant gift, right? Okay, well, when God gives to us, he doesn't give elephant gifts. He doesn't give something that's kind of wacky or doesn't really make any sense. He gives the best that he has. He doesn't give an ugly sweater. Okay? He doesn't give gift pack made in China stuff that just caught your attention and you grabbed it to give to somebody. It's not a meaningless gift, in other words. It's something that he knows that he wanted to give and he gave it intentionally. I want you to listen to a list of 6 different things that I came up with in the Bible that describes the gifts that were given to us by God. Number 1 is the gift of Christ. Okay, we've already kind of established that. I'm going to go through these 6, so if you want to write them down as we do them. But the gift of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift of salvation, and the gift of eternal life. Okay? Now, you can, and I did, put these into an order because they perfectly line up the way that God gave them to us for what the meaning behind it was. But we're going to talk, number 1, about the gift of Christ. Number 1 is the gift of Christ. Not only did he give us the gift of Jesus, But Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. You've heard that expression before. So he gives us Jesus, that whosoever putteth his faith in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he gives us him as a gift, and then all these other gifts come from that, from faith in him, from believing on him. If you remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he asked her for a drink, and she says, "Well, you know, you want me to give you a drink, but you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't usually, you know, get together. We don't usually mix that much." But listen to Jesus' answer when he talks about what happens when you put your faith in him. I think I have that in John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, to the Samaritan woman, he said, "If thou knewest the gift of God," he's referring to himself. If you knew who you're talking to, "I am the gift of God," he can say that. Nobody in here ever say that about yourself, please. Okay. But he can call himself the gift of God. "And who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the woman says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? And art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and he drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." In other words, when you receive the gift of God, there's a springing up of water, there's an eternity that comes with it. Okay, and that's what he's getting this point across to her. So Jesus being that gift that continues to keep on giving is something that we need to know. In other words, he was saying to her to taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, drink of the water that I shall give. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When we begin by receiving Jesus as a gift from God, then we can know that there is more good to come. There is more blessings to come than just faith in Jesus. There's more that is going to come from that. In fact, all of these other gifts that we are going to go through here, first we receive the gift of Jesus, and then we get other gifts. For example, number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe on Christ, right? So first we believe on Jesus, we believe we receive him as a gift, and then by our faith in him, we are given the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus for the remission of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So first it begins by faith in Jesus. Do you receive the Holy Ghost or Jesus first? It's Jesus. We believe on him. And then he says, when you put your faith in him, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now the astonishing thing for the folks back in these days in the early church was that the gift of the Holy Spirit wasn't just given to a certain people or a certain person or a certain people group, like the Jews who were known as God's chosen people. He was freely given to all who believed on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He was given unto them. Gifts of God and God's gifts are universally offered to all who will receive them. Okay, a gift can be given. I can say, "Pam, I got a box back there for you. It's a beautiful gift." And Pam can leave today and not go get her gift, right? It's got to be received. It's something she would have to take with her, something she would have to acknowledge and put and place into her hands in her life, or it does her no good. Okay, God's gifts are universally offered to all who receive them. Look at Acts 10:45. It says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." They were just amazed. And what got them the gift of the Holy Ghost poured out on them? Faith in Jesus. It all began with the gift. It began with the beginning. Number three, the gift of grace also comes through the gift of Christ. Okay, so we get the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus. Now we're going to see grace comes through Jesus. As the Apostle Paul was revealing the contrast between God's grace and the condemnation of the devil and going back and forth between the two, he shows that how by rebellion of one man, I'm not going to name names, but Adam, right? By the rebellion of one man, namely Adam, sin and its penalty of death entered into the world. And then also by the obedience of one man, I'll name his name, Jesus, right? Sin and death were counteracted and conquered, making righteousness and eternal life and salvation and all these other things possible. Look at Romans 5:15, talking about the offense. Okay, and it says, as the offense, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Again, it's faith in Jesus that we get the grace. The Bible says in a different place that grace and truth came to us, and that was Jesus Christ. That was in the form of Jesus. The gift of grace comes with the gift that keeps on giving. In other words, it came with Jesus. Ephesians 3:6 shows us that. It says, so that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the good news of the gospel, whereof Paul says, I was made a minister, Paul said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's showing that Christ and grace come together. They are part of the same package. When we receive Christ, we get this grace as part of what he wanted to give unto us. Ephesians 4:7 says it even more clearly. It says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. Okay, the gift of Christ. Okay, now we already talked about Jesus being the gift. The measure is the amount of, or the magnitude of, the measure of the gift of Christ. So every one of us is given grace according to the amount of Jesus Christ. How big is the amount of Jesus? You have an abundance of grace when we need it. That's why he says, my grace is sufficient. That's why he said, my grace is more than enough. Okay, my grace is enough. Under every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So they are definitely united. When we receive Christ, the grace comes with it. Number four, through grace, you see how they kind of go in together, but now through grace, we get number four. It comes the unearned gift of righteousness. Okay? Faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, grace, righteousness. Okay, which we all know is essential to the other two gifts that I'm going to name, which is salvation or deliverance and eternal life. Okay, they're all linked together and it all is focused on Jesus as that first gift. Romans 5:17 says this. It says, for if one man, by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Remember, it's to the measure of Christ. Okay, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one also, named Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense one of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so now, by the righteousness of one, the free gift of righteousness came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so now by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. It means it is a gift of God. It is not something to be earned and strive for, and I got to make myself righteous. Okay, you'll find people all over the world trying to do that. All over the world trying to pay a price for their sin, to make themselves right with God. When Jesus Christ came and lived and did that, he made it possible. The free gift of righteousness has been given not as a gift to be repaid, but given as a favor and as a blessing, given as something that was unmerited through that grace, that unmerited favor of God. It is intended not for you to pay back, but it is intended for you to use for your benefit and for your enjoyment. So often when the devil tempts me with something, my first response is, no thanks, I enjoy my righteousness. I enjoy living in the righteousness that God has made me. I enjoy being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that temptation can come and I say, no thanks. I enjoy my righteousness too much. I enjoy this peace and this rest and this this knowing that I have with God of being in right standing with Him to want to even be tempted by that. It doesn't have that pull anymore. I don't need that. I don't want that. I enjoy my life now. I enjoy it on this side of the righteousness. I enjoy it in this good life that God has provided for me through Jesus, because by the obedience of Him, I was made righteous. And so I'm going to live in that, right? When you see the greatness of the gifts of God that He has given unto us, it changes your outlook. It changes your attitude towards life, that He has poured out these gifts, righteousness and grace and salvation, all these things upon us, and it changes our attitude towards life. If someone you knew, or if somebody knew you, were in desperate need, let's say it's a financial need, and they knew that you had a desperate need to get such and such taken care of, and they came and they gave you exactly enough to go do that, you would feel pretty awkward, pretty bad about going out and blowing it on something else, right? So if we know that God has given us righteousness, we know that He has given us grace, we don't go out and abuse it. We don't go out and use it wrongfully, but I use that. Thank you, God, for making me righteous. Thank you for that grace that is unearned, that I didn't have to do this. Thank you for that. And I'm going to spend it accordingly. I'm going to use it for what He intended for. I'm going to use it to glorify His name and to walk out what He wanted me to do. The compulsion is that when you're given this gift to meet a specific need, that you appreciate it and you expend it or spend it on exactly that. Well, God has given us the gift of righteousness, not so that you can abuse it and waste it away, but so that you can live the life that is glorifying to God. That's why He gave it to you. Not as to give you an excuse or anything else, but He just gave it to you so that you could live out this life that brings Him glory. He had a reason for giving the gifts. Remember, He doesn't give elephant gifts. He doesn't give something stupid, something worthless. He gives you exactly what you need to bring glory to Him, which you're His prized possession. All He wants is for you to glow up, grow up glorifying Him and to give Him the praise and the glory for it. Number five, we've been given the gift of salvation, okay, which is deliverance or redemption. It is deliverance from the power of sin. Okay, He has given us salvation that we can walk it out. Remember He said, work out your own salvation. You've been given as a gift. Now walk it out. Work it out. In other words, walk it out. We've been given this deliverance from the power of sin. We've been given our redemption. Ephesians 2, 7 and 8 says that. It says that in the ages to come, that He might show what the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Our salvation, our deliverance, in other words, comes through our faith in Christ. It is a gift from God. It is something that He has given to us. And lastly, number six. Okay, we've been given eternal life. Okay, just to tell you what it is. So we know that through the gift of Christ, the gift that keeps on giving, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which changes us from the inside out. He now leads us from within. We've been given through the gift of Christ, the gift of grace and the unmerited, unearned favor of God upon our life. We've been given through Christ the gift of righteousness so that we can be in right standing with God, that I can live this out today. And we've been given through the gift of Christ the gift of salvation and deliverance from the grip of sin. And from that, we receive the highly valued gift of eternal life. And that's number six. That's what it's all about. God's plan was not just that we be saved, not just that we be set free, but the end result is that we spend eternity with Him, right? And it all begins with the receiving of Christ in the beginning. Romans 6:22 says this. It says, but now, being made free from sin, that's who we are now, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is now eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, it's all through Him. It all comes from Him. All the gifts that are given to us for our benefit and blessing stem from the gift of Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. Knowing what we know about our good, good Father, that His goodness and His good pleasure is to give us the kingdom, we can rest assured that the gift pack that He has given us is not something that we're just going to say, oh, thanks, and go throw it in a closet somewhere. It is something we can use to glorify His name. He has given unto us the essentials for life as we know it. For life on earth, we have all that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. For all that we need for eternal life, we have the understanding of Jesus Christ and who He is. We have all that we need for this life and the eternal life in heaven. We should be forever grateful for what He has given us, gleaming in our salvation, gleaming in the righteousness, gleaming in the grace and the blessing of God. Okay, we gleam in all that He has given us with an abundant joy and kind of a pride almost, not a negative kind of pride, but a proud, that I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm grateful for my relationship with Christ. It's okay for me to be a believer and to walk it out, to be strong in faith, to be a man or woman of God, and to be strong in that, to be joyful about what we have been given. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The last verse is what sums it all up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. He says, "Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." It is of such a magnitude, it is hard to even describe. It is breathtaking. It is almost bewildering to think about what came through Christ when we believed on Him, when all these other gifts and things came with it. All the anointing, all the things that He had, all came through our faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning. Father, we're grateful for the love of Jesus. We're thankful for the plan that You had for us through Him, Lord. That by our simple faith in Jesus, trusting that He is the Son, that He is Your Son, He is our Savior, He is our Lord, we have made Him our Master. We've made Him and received Him as our Redeemer, the one who sets us free. We receive Him as that one who then pours out of Himself all these other things. Even He said, "I go unto the Father and I will send you the Holy Ghost." He has given us the Holy Spirit. Through faith in Him, we have right standing and righteousness with God. We have our grace. We have our all the blessings, all these gifts that we're talking about today, Lord, came through Jesus. We're so grateful for You for that. Lord, I pray You have Your way in our hearts this week. Lord, as we go forth, may we walk with a joy in our step. May we walk with an acknowledgement daily of who You are and what You've done and the greatness of having You in our life. We are not as the world. We are in it, but we are not of it because of You. Father, we have a hope and a joy and a peace. We have a rest all because of You. And I pray that we can rejoice in that this week, that we can stand tall and say, "I'm glad that I have Jesus Christ in my life, and I'm going to live out my life accordingly. I will live it out now because God has given me these gifts to live it out in a way that brings glory to Him." Father, we praise You, we thank You, and we exalt You. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the body of Christ says, Amen.